In this episode, we reconnect with the lovely Becky Hooper.
Becky shares her insights about the pandemic, phase three in Illinois, the Black Lives Matter movement, and her summer plans this year.
Becky told us that she wasn't going to let the pandemic ruin her plans to spend time with her family and friends. And why can't everyone just get along?
In these challenging times that I'm sure we are experiencing, if not all, we hope you enjoy Becky's enthusiasm and spirit as she assures us that kindness is all around us.
I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to
The Night Owl. What up?
What up, what up?
How are you?
Good, how about you?
Good to hear from you again.
Yeah.
So how have you been doing during the quarantine?
It's been kind of great. Actually, now, because, like, it just feels like summer all of a sudden, because I can go out, like, be a part of nature, and, like, everything feels nice and warm when you're outside, and, like, my folks have a pool, so I've been going over there and, like, swimming, so it's great. Like, summer is okay during this time. Like, before it was hard, but, like, now it's okay. It just feels like normal summer, only there's, like, less big crowd activities happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know my friend Rachel, her building has a pool and it's like literally bath water. So it's like, I haven't gone in there yet, but I do miss going in a pool. I know a friend of ours used to live in a building with a pool and his was really cold. So you kind of have to get used to that even when it's hot outside. Yeah, it's definitely nice to be able to enjoy the little things in life. And especially summertime, it really is that kind of season where people can get together and kind of let loose a little bit and just feel like, you know, kind of all the worries are gone. I would think,
yeah, just having the normalcy. I agree. The warm weather, it feels like summer. That's awesome that you can kind of go hang out at your folks and enjoy the pool like any other summer.
Yeah. Exactly. It just feels like, I don't know, I feel like I've gotten closer to people that, like, actually matter in my life, you know? And it's kind of brought that perspective of, like, maybe, like, the people I used to go out with are, like, filler friends, you know what I mean? Like, they're not, like, it's interesting to see, like, who
sticks by you and who doesn't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's your quality company and who's, like, who's got your back and, like, who will be like, okay, whatever, let's just put on that mask and let's go for a walk together in this stuff, you know?
Like, well, that's what's nice about it is being able to go outside again.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can do most things outside, and it's also good for social distancing. And I think there are a few friends that I've actually been exposed to, like, hanging out with that I know, okay, they don't have anything, they're not sick, they're following the rules. They stay healthy. I had a birthday celebration for my grandmother, and it was all outside. It was actually at her house, and we even had like those little tents that you put up for parties. And Matt and I got to meet some of her old friends and just see her enjoy her time with us. She's 90 years old now, so I think that it was nice to see family again. I have yet to see my dad's side, but I'm getting there because my aunt just keeps running all these races. I never have time to see her. She's always running a new race, or her friends like kind of do runs together.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, I guess I could say that they're more runs, but if I could run more than 5 miles, I would do it. But I think I would die after 5 miles.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it is nice to be able to, you know, see my grandmother and not have to worry about, oh my gosh, I'm wondering how she's doing and I'm quarantined inside. And it was really nice to see some of my family again. And I think you and I have yet to do an outdoor activity. Hopefully we can do that soon because...
Oh, of course.
You know, we're in stage four now.
Well, we're almost.
Phase four is about to come.
Yeah, next week it looks like.
5 days away.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. So excited. So yeah, it's been good. And I don't know, like, I don't know what I would have, like, it doesn't feel any different now than what I would have normally been doing. Just, like, maybe, like, less of those, like, really hot and sweaty festivals, but, like...
Who needs those, like, every year? I mean, yeah, we exactly. know what they're like. We know what they're like,
yeah,
you know?
We know what they're like. Like, it'll come back, and then it'll taste even sweeter, you know?
Yeah.
When you get to, like, do that, when you get to, like, go see the bands, and you get to go, like,
exactly.
to an outdoor concert, it's going to be great.
And,
like,
hey,
we're going to be finally safe.
And if our friends aren't doing it, then we shouldn't have any fear of missing out, because usually there would be times where my friends would go out, and I was like, oh no, I didn't know that person was here performing, and then I would totally just
want
to go, and now everyone's suffering, so it's fine.
I've already started to see, like, commercials or ads. Like, I know Riot Fest already sent out, let's make 2021 the best festival ever. And
yeah,
I think a lot of other festivals are focused. Yeah.
Like, I was going to see, Green Day this summer, and of course that's canceled.
Oh, that was going to be a big one there, right?
I went to Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I was going to see them this summer, so I have a feeling, like, okay, low-key, I think that, like, they're going to go and perform in Riot Fest, and they're just going to, like, put, like, MCR, Fall Out Boy, and Green Day all in one festival, and it's going to, like, it's going to be, like, the biggest thing of the entire summer, and... it'll just feel pure that we've overcome it. I'm excited for the time that it'll be a celebration and, like, an add-on to already greatness.
No, I agree. I think eventually we'll get this thing right, and 2021 will happen. I agree. I mean, I think these tours will just...
Explode,
yeah. And we will have a reason to celebrate. Unlike it, I mean, like I said, this is unlike anything else. So, like, the next time around when these bands are out playing, I mean, there really will be, I think, something to truly celebrate. And I don't know, it'll be like Return of the Jedi, that final scene at the Ewok Village.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel that 100%. And, like, it's gonna be great because honestly, I am ready for November. I am ready for November to come so fast and to finally see what the world is going to be like, and to hopefully get a different administration that cares about people again. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, yeah, that's actually a good statement, because I was going to ask what your thoughts were on J.B. Pritzker's handling of the pandemic in general.
I think he has been a true leader. He's leading by example. I remember, like, his staff had positive testing of COVID, and he was like, okay, guess what? We're all gonna quarantine, we're gonna, like, social distance, and I'm gonna have my press conferences over Zoom and just, like, figure this out. But he still held the press conference. He led by example. And, like, I really like, especially with the Black Lives Matter movement, how he was in the front lines of that. He was there, but he was wearing his mask. He was modeling. He was, like, marching with the people. And then he was like, guess what? I'm going to make sure that this is actually, like, safe and productive. And so he decided to, like, have testing be free afterwards, after the whole protests and march and stuff like that. So it was like, that's how you do it. That's how you do it safely. But yeah, I think he's been educating the public. I think that we are very lucky as a state to have such a public health infrastructure like we do. The IDPH has been phenomenal in their briefings, and, like, their website is, like, top-notch metrics of everything, and, like, ICU beds, ventilators, numbers, actual stats, and, like, but actual stats and, like, graphs that you can, like, read, and, like, the common person can feel reassured. Not common person, but, you know, somebody that doesn't, like, do science, like, so much that can be like, oh, hey, that's green means good. Also, so like, guess what? We're green and that means space four. Cool. And then you get to see the number. You get to like not have to think about your own safety because guess what? Somebody's got your back is what I feel in the state. And I feel we're so lucky because we are the number one state with the most decreases in cases in the entire country. I saw that stat the other day. We're kicking butt. We are. It's great. It's great to be number one and to be like the leaders of the entire country again.
Yeah, Pritzker does not fuck around, man.
No.
No. And Lightfoot, I mean, Lightfoot's right there with, I put her in the same boat as far as not only being, you know, black and gay, and this was like, for her, I think, with recent events now, I think she's really holding a torch to her ancestors and the future youth of today that are, you know, in the same kind of political climate. But I think that, yeah, J.B. Pritzker, man, he is. Matt's been saying that the whole time.
I was just going to say, did you hear any of that, the exchange between him and the president when they were kind of having that exchange when he was kind of calling out governors and kind of
exactly.
Pritzker kind of like, yeah, pretty much like, no, you know, no.
And here's the thing. I'm going to say it. Like, because everybody knows it, money leads a lot nowadays. And so just having a Democrat that has money, that stands for the right values, and he doesn't have to take anybody else's crap. He can just lead by his own thing, and he can just, like, be who he wants to be because, you know what, like, it's not like anybody's trying to buy him off, you know what I mean? So I think...
Yeah, I mean, we lucked out. I mean, honestly, Becky, really, I mean, I've said before, I did not vote for him. I thought he was just another billionaire just looking for a title and blah, blah, blah. And I am the first to say I am wrong. He is a leader. What he has done, I mean, I feel safe. As somebody that travels around, I've already said it before. When I go to other states, I don't feel comfortable. When I'm in Illinois, when I see him speak, he's genuine.
When I was his campaign, I met him several times and had a real conversation with him. And he just, like, reminded me of that, like, I don't know, that friend that would come to, like, the backyard barbecue and just would talk very intelligently about things and cohesively, but still like
listening.
You know?
Yeah, I mean that's why Megan was gonna beat me over the head because she's like, "There's no way Becky would ever support somebody like that. She's only gonna support somebody who's genuine."
Yeah, I told. When I found out about you working with him, I was just like, I told me I was like, if Becky's on his campaign, there's no way she would do that, and for someone who isn't on
her
team.
Awesome.
I have to say for the listeners, too, that Becky is one of my most genuine friends, if not the most. That's a true fact right there. You know. And there's not a lot of politicians like him. There just isn't.
I'm going to be real with you. I was like, okay, I want to do, like, the political side. I want to meet people. I want to do, like, events and stuff. And, like, the first person I met was this. And that was right before the primaries. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna vote this. That's fine. I'm not ashamed at saying that. A lot of people did. But then it was like, okay, he's out. Let's look. Let's see what this new person is like. Same thing with the presidential. My original pick is out. But guess what? I'm going 110%. Towards Mr. Biden.
You're so kind.
Yes. I am, but like, I'm not gonna lie, like a lot of people out there, their first pick is probably gone. Biden was your first pick, more power to you. But you were right. I kind of
just go with what Matt, because I always trust in what Matt thinks about those kind of things. Politics isn't really my my jam, but I'm aware of it and I try to pay attention.
I met this and I was like, okay, cool. You're the first one I meet. Whatever. There's all these candidates. I'll fill in the bubble that's like I knew. And then I went to a press tour event. And I was like, okay, this is cool. Came to Aurora and I was there and it came to like a very authentic Mexican restaurant. Not like one of the big ones, just like a cafe style restaurant. And he spoke in such a way that like it felt like he was talking to everybody individually and yet talking as to the collective at the same time. And he was like motivating, and I was like, okay, we'll be fine. And then I was like, let's see. And then somebody at another one of his events was like, oh, hey, do you need to have a position open? And I'm like, oh, let's go, let's do it. I met him a couple times, it's good. It worked. And like, yeah, like I'm so proud. I'm so happy that it worked out like that. I trusted my gut, even though everybody was like, oh my god, I'm a god, he's gonna be a puppet. Whatever. The lines were. And I was like, okay, cool. But I kept my confidence and I just knew. Like I was like, I met the dude. Like, have you met him? No? Okay. Alright, cool. Tell me what you do. Like every single time I would invite people to be like, it's okay. Whatever your opinion is, I support.
Yeah.
Whatever, if you're like, you can't, whatever. And I'd be like, just come to an event.
See what it's like.
See them in person. And then it's like, okay, I get it. Yep.
So you're basically converting people, Becky.
But like.
I'm just kidding.
But it's good,
a positive way. I mean, you're trying to open people's eyes, and I think that even when it comes down to, you know, little things like, oh, I love this band, or I love this book, or you know, you have to meet this doctor, or whatever. You know, you feel like it, you can feel like that it's only for the greater good. Like, why not share it with your friends and people that you love and care about? That is how positive messages and positive ways of living are spread by feeding each other knowledge through others, you know?
I think in politics, at least for me, it seems extremely hard to find people that are genuine. And in this state, we were desperately hurting, I think, for genuine leaders, and to see what has happened and to look and go, yeah, wow, oh my, rock on, yeah, we're good, we got ourselves a leader, we got a couple of leaders going on here, genuine. I'm like, I didn't think it was possible for politicians to be that genuine, and I think we really lucked out. Old JB is somebody who comes across as very genuine, and good for you, Becky, to read into that, because, I've lived in this state long enough. I mean, I am somebody that has a personal connection, because when I first started out as a sanitarian, you basically vetted into this kind of retirement fund, and old fucking what's-his-name, you know, old Madigan came down and was like, well, you know, if you vote for me, we'll reduce it from 8 years down to 5 years to start vetting you. Well, guess what? Never happened. Yeah, it's still 8 years to get vetted, and I'm still, 12 months short of being vetted from that. So, politicians is ugh. But
exactly.
JB does not, JB doesn't do
He's
that. Lori doesn't do that.
They're
it's
people.
Just like, woo, we got ourselves some genuine people, and I should have just, Becky, you're genuine, and I should have just trusted your intuition.
Well, you didn't know her that way.
I
think it was still early in our friendship with Matthew.
I'm so happy that, like, don't trust people, trust data, trust facts, like, what speeches sound like, trust what your gut is saying. If your gut is telling you, oh, hey, I'm not feeling this, then, like, whatever, but, like, intellectually, yeah, open your mind, but, like, just be you, do you, and, like, don't force it, don't force that issue, and, like, let your, like, inner skepticism be, it's okay, like, that's okay, and, like, that's the thing that we are lacking now, is, like, that concrete idea, unfortunately, because of our current federal leader.
That was the biggest sigh I've ever heard. It was like, like you're already, like, you just don't want to keep mentioning him. I know. Like, I don't even say his name anymore.
I think we've, like, lost that bit of us that we're, like, questioning things. Like,
yeah, well, we're sheep.
Is that really, like, the best way to do that? Because, like, I miss, like, see this current leader where we used to question it, and the leader themselves would question their tactics and be like, okay, guess what? That was wrong. I was wrong.
I was wrong,
and we are going to fix it X, Y, and Z, and if that doesn't work, we're going to try another plan. We're going to keep on trying another plan and, like, figure it out so that the best solution happens instead of just, like, being like, no.
Well, that's
the end all be all.
That's what I was just going to say. You just hit it on the head right there. I was going to say that, you know, I think a lot of us have learned, if not from a young age, at least into our adulthood, that, like, when you say something, you might have to think about how it's going to affect others, or if you do something, you might have to, you know, there's those three, like, golden rules that you have to think about when you make big decisions. And when you're running a city, a country, a state, when you're in that high political climate, you have to fucking do that. And I know that there are people that write your speeches, or, you know, there's advisors and stuff, but I think it's good to be able to do that, because I think sometimes the people do want to hear good things, and I know that trusting your gut is a good thing, but it does have to start with those people, that with the politicians. And I think they have to acknowledge that we're eating up whatever they say. I mean, for fuck's sake, people were trying to put bleach in their body because they thought it would get rid of COVID. People will do anything if there's a person in power telling them. And it's like, crazy to me. It's crazy.
I am seeing right now the hope, the shift, the empowerment that people are having. They're like, okay, it's starting to wrap up. It's starting to get to that point where it's like, we're going to see what November has to bring. And, like, we're on the precipice, and everybody's starting to talk now, and the ideas are flowing, and you're seeing how people handle everything differently during this moment of crisis. There's three things what happens when somebody's in crisis, right? What I see from the current administration is the fight one. Cool. All I'm going to do is, like, the fight one initially. Like, okay, I'm going to put that up. But then actually it's masking the one that he wants to do, which is flight. He wants to flee. He wants to flee the situation because it's uncomfortable. It's, like, hard. And it's, like, it's not easy. It's not, like, if you're in a business model and your business goes down, that hurts your business. Yes, it might hurt your employees because they'll not have jobs anymore. Yeah, that'll be. But, like, that's it. It just hurts you. But, like, this, it's not like that. You can't run a country like a business. You can't. And you're seeing it. To go back to the JB point, like, the contrast is great. And, like, I'm so glad that I feel safe and feel like somebody's got our backs.
I agree. I think we're finally realizing, too, right, that there is no they. It's us. We elect us to these positions, and we can make the change. And I think the great thing about this is the number of people being registered. And I think we are going to make a big push and realize that, you know, voting isn't, I get upset about it because it could be easier for us. So I think we can make this change, and you're starting to see it. And, you know, when I hear him him speak on just a variety of things. And I don't agree with everything. I mean, that's okay, but it's you're right. We need to be able to identify what a leader is, who a leader is, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with saying that, yeah, that's not a leader. We don't,
yeah.
I mean, I thought it was just, you know, Obama proved, I thought, anybody could be president, and this dude has proven not everybody should be president. You exactly. need to be a leader. And in these exactly. times, you're right, he's looking to run. I mean, he's looking to run. I mean, telling a group of his own people that, you know, he's trying to reduce the number of testing out there. It's like,
no.
Okay. Yeah, that's real smart there. I mean, I think people are going, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. I try not to group people and I try not to do this thing, but it's starting to shift and we're starting to see a minority come out of, like, the minority of people that support him. It's great. It's ironic, but I feel more united. We're facing a common issue and, like, we're uniting, we're being kinder to each other than I've ever seen in my life. The other day I was just, like, at the Starbucks and, like, I had a conversation with somebody and we were, like, laughing about how we tried to, like, smile at each other, but we were both wearing masks. And they were like, okay, I am smiling at you.
But you can tell in the eyes. Like, you can tell.
Yeah, you can totally smiling. Tell. But, like, yeah. It was just so funny. And, like, people were so kind. And, like, the baristas were so kind. And, like, everybody is. And I greatly appreciate that, like...
People are trying.
Yeah. Like, people are good. People are damn good than I've ever seen. We're adaptable. We're strong. We're resilient. We're gonna combat this, and we're gonna come back to a different era when we get back, and it's gonna be a more kind, more healthcare focused, more data driven, more science based, and guess what? More environmental era, because, you know, nobody's driving as much recently, so carbon dioxide is not spewing in the air as much. So I don't know. I feel hope. This is great.
No, it feels like when the dinosaurs die out that this next group has a much better understanding. I never thought that maybe could be possible. Looks like it's going to be possible.
Oh yeah, hands down.
So what have you been doing for work?
Yeah, I've been still doing my usual helping people job, and I've been able to luckily do that via telework, which is great, and everybody jokes about it, but it's true. Like, I wear athleisure, yeah, like, I wear leggings, and I just, like, wake up later, and I don't have a commute. It's great. It's freaking great. Just, like, open up my laptop and be like, okay, we're gonna go. We're gonna do this. And I love it. Like, I hated it at first. I was like, oh, I missed it. Now I'm like,
I think it's nice for people to get back to work. I mean,
but there's something about being able to cut out part of the grindy part of work, which can be sometimes that driving back and forth, or having to get up and get dressed and go to
Because you haven't been for a while, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I feel a little bit more productive. I get stuff done faster. I think more of a human element I've noticed, like, in my work and, like, other people's works too, of, like, people just being like, oh, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? And then it's like, oh, guess what? The dog's barking on that Zoom call. And it's like, guess what? Now we're human. We're not putting that, like, mask on when we're going to work, like, oh, we gotta show our professional side. Nah, the dog's barking and you can hear the, like, kid in the background saying, mommy, I need whatever on the Zoom call. So it's great. Like, people are just being people again. And I don't know. I dig it. I dig the realness that's happening.
No, you see that a lot on the commercials when they're advertising that kind of thing through those various calls. It's just that human element. I think, yeah, you said it there, is we're getting back to that, because one thing I think we've lost in this kind of go world and news is, you know, goes around the world every 24 seconds or faster than that, is just that speeding up of life, and this has caused things to put on a massive brakes. Although, yeah, I mean, I think that has been one thing out of this, is forced us to slow down. And yeah, I mean, I think you're going to realize, yeah, hopefully for you, Becky, is that, yeah, you can do your job from home. I think a lot of employers are going to realize that, oh, maybe I don't need to have a office and have everybody come in, and maybe working from home is not that bad of a thing, and having that extra time. Yeah, I mean, I really hope we kind of learn from this and can take that.
I think so, too. I think it is good to be able to feel like you're connected in that way. Matthew has actually gone back to work, and at first it was a little slow going for him because he had to start getting up at 5 and 6 in the morning again. But, you know, we saw his parents recently because he was able to find some work near them. So we were there last, we just got back from being out in the country. So that was really nice to be away from the city. Like, it was funny because I drove my friend home the other day. She was watching the cat while we were gone. And it was so funny because just regular city noises were, like, making me jumpy. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I've been in the country for a whole week.
Been in the country too long.
Yeah, like, I heard a car and I heard a motorcycle. And I was like,
Those are some of the things we've done. I don't know, but do you have any currently, I guess, I know, right, we kind of talked about, right, no festival-y type thing, no outdoor big things, but any summer pandemic plans, I guess, so to speak? I don't, you know, 4th of July plans or anything like that?
I will probably still do, like, the swimming thing, and I've had, like, the best bonfires lately that are, like, are, I don't know, they're great. Like, we just sit around and, like, I love s'mores, and it's such a treat, and, like, the stars, and then, potentially doing a road trip with some friends of mine to Colorado, maybe, to go camping. Like, I haven't been camping since I was, I don't know, 16. So,
yeah, I was going to say, have you gone camping yet? I definitely would like to go camping. I haven't gone in a while. I don't even think Matt and I have a tent, but I would go if we had a tent for sure. I have some experience with camping. And I have camped in Denver. That's really nice. I camped in the mountains, and that's a totally different experience, hearing the wind and the sounds of the animals, and just the sky is different. Everything is so crisp and fresh, and yeah, change of scenery is always good. If you're gonna go camping, go big.
Yeah, exactly. That's gonna be fun, and I don't know, like, I'm okay with, like, just going to a forest preserve and, like, I'm going to try to see about getting a fishing license to go fishing. And, I don't know, I've been playing Animal Crossing, and, like, I want to do exactly what my little Animal Crossing character is doing in real life. So, like, yay, I'm building a bonfire. Now I'm building a bonfire digitally. And in real life, woo! And building a tent, living in my tent, and, like, digging up stuff and going exploring. I don't know.
That's great. Now's that time to do it. What better time, especially when it seems like nature is kind of coming back and feeling it. And
Yeah,
get out there and go camping and experience. That's great that you've been able to do those bonfires. That kind of takes me back to being a kid when we would have
bonfires.
Especially in the summertime, and you're right, like, looking up at the night sky and just those stars.
Yeah, you get lost in it. That's, and then awesome. You realize how small you are.
There's so much we don't know in the world, so vast, and
I mean, we know more about outer space than we do the fucking oceans, which is insane to me. Mm-hmm. There are still creatures in that ocean we haven't discovered yet. But I think that maybe they'll start coming out of the woodwork now that there's less people around.
Yeah, exactly. And like, we're not damaging their environment as much, and it's great. Like, this is actually what humans used to do, like, all the time, and then we got, like, away from it, because we built, like, that, and I was like, getting back to it, it feels right.
We're trying to make, you know, amends with, you know, I think it's the only thing I would, with what we've done and what we can do in the future.
I was going to say, the only thing I would add to that, though, is there are now starting to be those reports, right, of the type of litter that people are seeing. You know, it's a lot of those single-use masks. And,
well, you can clean them now. I mean,
you can clean them. You can throw them away. There's no reason to just kind of toss them and, yeah.
I mean, if you don't want to use them anymore, just use it for something else. I mean,
just a reminder out there.
Put it in your bird cage or something.
Put it in your pocket. Throw it away.
Put it in the bonfire, of course.
Yeah, put it in the bonfire.
Burn it up. Write an affirmation on there, like, fuck you, COVID, and then just burn the mask. Yeah. And then
that's exactly what people should do with this. Yeah, thing. Yeah, just write a little message in there and toss them in the bonfire.
Yeah,
and
we should make that a holiday. Like,
yeah, we should make that like a COVID-19 holiday or something.
When everything's lifted all over the place and we're all finally free, we'll just have a big ass fucking mask bonfire.
Yeah, write little messages and burn them.
And then everyone will run around naked and it'll be Burning Man. No?
No.
I'm down.
Right?
Becky's down.
Becky's down.
Yeah. Becky's down for a lot of shit.
Oh, yeah. And so, yeah, we'll do that. And, like, it's going to be, like, a rejoice moment because everybody, like, imagine if you went to a place and, like, the stuff isn't cleared yet and you go to your event, you go to your whatever, and then you're always, like, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, holy crap, like, I can get a deadly disease just by going to this thing. No, that's not fun. Like, who needs that? Nobody needs that. It's gonna be good. And, like, I don't know, I think practicing mindfulness is better because, like, here and now doesn't have to suck. You don't have to, like, be thinking about, like, oh my god, the future. Like, I want it to be now. Like, the future, I won't be done with this. No, not. When you're with your family, like, be with your family. When you're with, like, your friends after you haven't seen them for a while and this is the first time you're seeing them post, like, stay-at-home, the lockdown mode orders.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
I told Matthew, I said, I think that we had mentioned in an older episode that he and I were getting a little stir-crazy to the point where this was, like, earlier in the quarantine where, you know, he and I were kind of, like, snippy and stuff, and I'm like, this is not right. Like, this whole pandemic is fucking us up because I am an adventurer, and I like to go out and be alone, and, like, Matt and I can have our separation day where I can go and do my thing, and then, you know, and the quarantine was keeping us both inside, and it wasn't exactly the best weather out at that time either, but now, yeah, I think that with, you know, with this movement that's going on with Black Lives Matter and with Gay Pride and just the weather. I mean, it's all coming together in this crazy soup of, like, human existence. I mean, it's like, you know, it's what other ingredients can we throw into this soup right now? We have the pandemic. We have Black Lives Matter. We have an uprising in politics and an uprising in the people. And we had nice weather. The nice weather is like the cherry on top of everything.
It takes just that mentality of, like, okay, we're just going to change our attitude right now. Why add to your suffering of, like, being, like, super impatient? Like, whatever.
Yeah. don't be sheep anymore. No? Ask questions, you know? Not to the point where you're insane. I mean, you should definitely make your own decisions and make your own formula as to what you think works for your community. But yeah, ask questions. If you don't know what the tough questions are, then ask someone who does do that and watch them and see what the response is from whoever you want answers from. And that actually brings me to my next question. Like, what are your thoughts on the recent events of the movement now, the Black Lives Matter movement? I know that you grew up in a neighborhood where you were more of the minority. You were surrounded mm-hmm. by more ethnic brothers and sisters, and I love that. And I just wanted to know kind of what your thoughts are now with the recent events.
I read this the other day. This is not me, not my original, but I'm globbing onto it. Like, it is my own. Somebody's house is on fire, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody's house is on fire. And, like, they're like, okay, my house needs help. Like, now. It needs help. And then somebody is, like, there, and they're just like, their house is fine and their neighbor's house is fine. And the neighbor's going, but doesn't my house need too? But you're missing the point. Like, that house needs immediate attention. Like, this, the Black Lives Matter movement, the systemic racism, all that stuff, that needs attention now. These are problems that are, like, ASAP, like, people are dying. It's not okay. Like, just because, like, yeah, of course the concept of, like, all lives matter, yeah, that it makes sense intellectually, but, like, no, it doesn't at this time, because you don't go, like...
It can't work until we have to focus on that burning house. The whole neighborhood would be fucked. If no one got rid of that fire, all the houses start to burn. Like, it catches on to everything. And the fire would be the symbolism of, you know, the government or the racists, basically, the people who were against it.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones holding the match. And,
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. right now the house is going to be made out of steel pretty soon. It's going to be unburnable. It's going to be like, no, fuck you. You cannot burn this shit down.
Exactly. And, like, I saw another thing where I'm like, people are like, okay, when they have, like, the football players that wore pink, like, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, when they're doing that thing, we don't, like, say all of a sudden that, like, other cancers don't matter. No, and that, like,
oh yeah,
no, it's a movement. That, like, breast cancer is being highlighted because it's very prevalent.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not like we're not discrediting you and your life. We're just saying that, like, more attention needs to be given to this scenario because, like,
attention has
not been given.
Yeah, and it does claim lives. I mean, just like what's happening with this, it does. I mean, it is. I mean, you could say that racism is a cancer. I mean, although it's a cancer that's given and grown, you know, from the host, you know, it's not like you just catch it. Like, you basically have to make the decision that, you know, growing up being around that and kind of make your own decision and say, hey, this probably doesn't feel right. Just like that gut feeling, right? And I think most people want to just kind of go along with it because maybe someone they love or someone they know is that way and they don't want to feel like they have to push back. And I'd say push back. Push back.
Exactly. It is your duty. It is your, if you have that voice and that privilege, like, you have, not only do you have the privilege, you have the responsibility to use that in a way that, like, that you speak out against this stupidity. Like, you can't have it both. You get the privileges, get the extra stuff, but guess what? When you have extra stuff, you have more responsibilities. That's just natural. That's, like, what you teach everybody. That's what you learn as a child. When you have more, you have more responsibility. That's it. So, like, if you have this privilege because, like, even if you're just born that way, you have a privilege, you've seen it, whatever, you have the responsibility, use that and use it for good. I think it's, like, an honor. I can humble myself. I can learn more about things at my own pace or whatever. And that's such a privilege. That's such like a thing that not everybody recognizes that they get if they have the privilege. They yeah. just don't.
Like, no, I think that's why mm-hmm. it's become a movement, because more and more people are starting to understand what that.
I need to speak up for Black people.
And what that is. And that now you have to speak up because if you want this to change, it's going to take that.
And I'm sorry, Becky. You know, I tell Matthew and I tell you all the time that I know you guys aren't white deep down. You guys just aren't. You look it, but you just aren't. And I say, I tell Matthew, I say, I know you think you have to fight for this movement and use your privilege. And there are times that Matt has told me, you know, that he's had experiences in his life where he was a little worse for wear, and that maybe if his skin color was different, he wouldn't have been able to get out of those situations as well, you know. And it is time for lighter skin, white people in general, to fight for us. It's your time to use your platform of privilege, and I'm not saying it in a negative way, but being able to use that power to say, hey, I have Black friends, I have Black family, I have Black sisters and brothers, I need to protect them. And the system is fucked and it's broken, and it starts with the DAs, and it trickles all the way down to the police.
Exactly. It should just be a given, because
there should be no thought about it.
And here's the thing too, we are the mutation. Like, the white people are the mutation.
Originally, we
were all in like the Pangea, and like we went and like we went up north, and then we had less sunlight or whatever, and then our skin changes and we mutated to adapt to that environment. Guess what? That's not how it originally was coded in our system to be. So sorry.
I mean, the blue eyes came from like living in castles for so long. Uh-huh. And shit.
So it's so it's all, what I'm saying is like, it's silly. It's like, I just don't understand, like, yes, it exists, and yes, like, when people are like, oh my god, I wish we had, like, White Heritage Month. Well, you do. Have you ever seen that? Have you seen, like, I don't know, like, St. Patrick's Day? Have you ever seen
Christopher Columbus? We have so many days that are dedicated towards white culture, and that's...
Exactly, and it's like... No, stop. Like, all days are that. all days are that. That's it. So, no, just stop. Like, I think, like, every single day should be, like, yes, learning about everybody's culture and, like, figuring it out. Like, how you can be born here and have a different skin color. Duh. We know that. But, like, some people are like, oh, what's your heritage? Did you Africa? No, I'm from, you know, St. Louis. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. You know? Because like, they see an Indian person or something, and they're like, where are you from? And it's like, oh, my family's from New York. And they're like,
I mean, it's just so ingrained, and that's just that bias that's like, just so ingrained that, whether it's overt or covert, and that's just awakening. A lot of white people are realizing, oh, I've been racially ignorant or racially biased, and you really need to look at that.
And you see it in movies. You see it in movies. You see it in celebrities. You see it in pop culture. I mean, you know, everyone was in a box. You know, everyone. I think that people watching movies and seeing stuff like that too, where it's that kind of subtle, you know, racism or bias, and then everyone thinks it's funny because it's in a funny movie. It's like, that's not funny, you know? Little things like that where I think everything needs to change. We just need to take the chalkboard and take the eraser and just erase everything. Everything that we thought we knew, you know, and fill it with the real shit that we didn't get to learn in school.
And I personally am, like, thinking, when I have those like little biases pop up into my own head, because like we all have them. We all have them. And even if you say you don't, then you're the problem. So we all have these biases in their head. And I've been thinking the other day of like, when was the first moment that I learned about this? Because as we know, racism, all of this stuff, is not a genetic code inside of us. It's not. It's taught. So like, I've been thinking, when was the moment that I was taught this behavior, this feeling, this like, this thought, like why, where did this come from? And like, when you get to figure that out and pinpoint it, you get to like dissect it and like analyze it and like see, is this real or not? And it's like, usually it's not real. It's something that was taught. I probably watch it in a movie sometime, an old black and white cartoon.
That's what I'm saying.
You just pick it up.
That's what that's sometimes. It could be a conversation with your parents, or it could be just an old movie, and that's there. That's just coming from another perspective of what that person was doing when they wrote the movie, or, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I was
exactly.
You must be psychic, because I just told Matt that yesterday about the fact that being gay, you know, you're born that way, and then when you're racist, it's taught, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't, yes, you can go with the whole, oh my God, we're tribalistic sometimes, and like, we go to our own tribe. Yeah, there's some of that, but like, we've evolved out of that. That's no longer necessary for our like survival, and like we get to redefine what our tribes actually mean nowadays, right? It was something that got bred out of fear and fear alone. So it's unfortunate, but how to combat that is with unconditional love, even if somebody's being negative towards, like, and if somebody's being racist, maybe they really don't know. So it's educating. And, like, after you educate and they still don't get it, well, that. But.
What do you think, Matt?
Well, I think part of it is so ingrained right now that you have to keep shining the light on all of it. Because there are those that will take the education and they will learn and they will realize that, oh, I do need to make an effort towards this. Whereas there's going to be a few that are definitely going to kick back. I mean, you've already seen some of those signs. You've already seen some of those pictures of various flags waving and going, not in my country, but what about all lives? And what about my Confederate flag? And I need to be able to wave this. And guess what? Who's a domestic terrorist group?
Or all Bud Lights Matter.
All Bud Lights Matter.
Matt,
I mean,
you started
to see this little bit of a push. But what's been more amazing is people going, no, that's not right.
You're trying to be an asshole.
You don't get to be like that. And that's not right. And I don't want to live in that world where there are people like you that exist that believe in hate. And
that's where freedom
that.
Of speech sucks, because you just want those people to shut up.
Well, no, that's the thing you're learning is again, just because there's that freedom of speech, you're not free to say without consequence. And I think hate is learning that. We don't have room for it. And just because you think you have the right to be able to spew hate, it doesn't mean you have the right to spew it without consequence. And we're learning that, and that's kind of part how we're going to fix. I mean, part of this is we need a bunch of people to also die off, unfortunately, because it's so ingrained. But it's coming, right? I mean, we got one state flag left that's got the Confederate flag in it, and you are getting a bunch of white people that are willing to have this very uncomfortable conversation, which it really shouldn't be. We should have fixed this a long time ago.
Well, now it starts now, and that's okay.
But it starts now, yeah. I mean, you can't go back and punish those sins, and let's move forward and let's fix this.
Did you see, I actually shared a meme on Instagram. It was saying, on Juneteenth, to give all your black friends $50. And they said put your Venmo up there, and it said hashtag reparations. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah. I have my thoughts on this story. They've done that before.
We're gonna learn
just throwing money at something.
I think it was supposed to be funny.
Just throwing money at something isn't right. It didn't fix it.
Yeah.
You have to fix it. You have to get to the source, the root cause, and fix it. And no, I'm honestly not happy with throwing money. Because we've done that to the indigenous people here. We've just thrown a bunch of money at them.
Let's just give them casinos.
Money is the root of all evil, far as I'm concerned. And we need to be able to, like you've been saying, Becky, we need to lift each other up. And that's where this is starting. And that's why this is a movement, no longer just a protest or just a whisper in the wind. And I believe that this change will happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it was, I mean, I have to say it on the record, I think it was supposed to be sarcastic, but I mean, it did give me the same feeling of like, I don't think that would work, even if that was, we're done doing that. But it was funny just because, like, it's like that dark humor where there's like a picture of this black girl and then she's with like her white friends. Oh my god, this is totally a meme. This cannot be real. Like, this can't be fucking real. Give your black friends $50 for Juneteenth. Like,
How about instead just have a conversation? If you happen to have a black friend, have that conversation with them.
I don't want your money. I can make my own money.
I mean, I want your white privilege.
You know how many people were actually had their own businesses and were thriving before their shit got burned down or their shit got destroyed. I mean, for centuries. So I don't think paying them back is going to do anything in money. I think making changes, bigger changes, you know, that's just kind of a slap in the face, a reparations thing, I think. When I first learned about that, I was just like, I guess I get it, but I don't know. Yeah, it's got to be more change.
There's no good unless you educate and if you, like, stop plotting it so that, like, pieces of land, like, you know how cities are built, so, like, the impoverished areas stay impoverished and the rich areas stay rich. Like, no. Like, break those walls down.
Yeah.
Look at the infrastructure.
Yeah, I mean, this city.
Look at that.
Here, I mean, Chicago is the perfect example of that. That's why I've always said, you know, we have our own version of racism here. We're not Boston, but the way this city is segregated, look at the way the interstate runs. It was designed on purpose like that to separate the South Side from the North Side, the West Side from the Loop. I mean, that's when you hear Lori and JB talking about, no, start to bring business to south of 55th Avenue and all of that. Mm-hmm. Start to bring businesses there and job opportunities and better schooling.
We have to help each other. It's a community. The city should be a fucking community. And Chicago is still very gentrified. And I think that I started seeing that over the past 10 years that I've lived here. And I guess I did mention to Matthew that it has opened my eyes to learn about diversity and different types of people and lifestyles. I mean, I moved out here when I was 21 and I'm 34. So it's definitely been a wild ride living out here for that long. But at the same time, I mean, I'm really lucky. I think we're all very lucky to have our leaders, like, you know, fighting for us. I mean, yay. I'm glad that we're in Illinois. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that we weren't in Wisconsin when they were reopening everything too early. Or Florida.
Right?
What do you think about the quarantine in general? Like, do you think, you said that Illinois is going to be phase 4. So what do you think about these new cases? Do you think that's because of the reopenings? Because we've reopened, but I think that's because we're out of the woods a little bit here.
Mm-hmm. I think it's great, but, like, I personally will be a little bit more cautious, and, like, it's up to individual discretion, of course, but, like, it's based on metrics, and like, I don't know, I'm going to be cautious and, like, see how it plays out for, like, a couple weeks at the next phase, and I feel like that's everybody, too. So, yeah. Like, I don't know, I appreciate the, like, the phase model a lot. I do. It gives you more, and it's how you do a scientific method, right? Like, you add new variables in. You see what you, like, see, okay, the control was this. Now let's add this next thing. One variable at a time versus just being, like, other states where it's just, like, oh, guess what? Everything opens now. No, you don't know, like, now you don't know what works or what doesn't work.
Yeah.
You
know?
You think, like, Becky, you think it's possible we'll ever be New Zealand?
With new federal leadership, yes.
Yes. yeah, I think that's what it'll take. I mean, I think that's why I really appreciate our leaders here. I mean, that's what I just keep harping on, right? I'm like, how can it cut? Right, a whole country now. They've had zero cases. But they did it right. They followed the. It can be done without a vaccine, and.
But they probably weren't making any mistakes like we were for the past, like, several years. I mean, they probably have a better system anyway, as far as community and, like, listening.
Well, they had a prime minister that got out, and they followed a countrywide guideline. They followed the World Health Organization guidelines, their own.
Yeah, because they want to live.
Well, yeah, I guess they want to live. Who knew that?
We're just pretending like it's not, like, nothing's wrong, you know?
Yeah, no, like, there are areas pretending that, it seems like.
Well, yeah, I can't speak for the whole of America, but, you know, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. We're cautiously, I think you're right, you're going to enter phase four, and it's good to know with our leaders that I think they could always reverse that, and there'd be nothing wrong with having to dip back down into a lower phase as things go. But yeah, we're one of the success stories.
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, someone's blowing off fireworks already. We just heard some loud booms. Oh, well, yesterday was lightning. Today it's fireworks. Jesus, Matthew.
Every day there are fireworks.
Oh, our cat Wednesday didn't like that very much. She's not into the... See, that's what I don't look forward to about the fireworks, is that it scares the shit out of my cat. I don't know if you guys have any pets at your house. But yeah, it's pretty... The animals do not like it. It's like their mortal enemy.
Of course. Yeah. It's shocking because, like, they detect different, I don't know, wavelengths and shit.
Yeah. So, I mean, animals pretty much know if there's going to be, like, a hurricane or earthquake or whatever. They can sense that stuff. You don't see any birds in the sky, there's a tornado coming. It's coming for you. All right, Becky. Well, Matthew and I wanted to tell you that we love you so much. We are so happy that you were able to talk to us on the podcast tonight. And hopefully after this next phase, you can come to our place and we can do a live recording with you.
That would be awesome. I love you both so much, too. It was great to chat and... just to put the ideas out there, and hopefully there's a voice that hears this and is like, maybe I should think about my biases today.
Yeah, awesome. You're awesome. We love you. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you again for your time. And we got to make sure that once we get things going, we bring you in and do this for real.
And hopefully we'll have some updated equipment. Yeah. Too. We'll get you your own mic.
Exactly.
All right, well, we love you and have a good night. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You too. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.